And now the conclusion of our interview with George Castle, author of When the Game Changed, an oral history of baseball's true golden age, 1969 to 1979.
Now, do you find, compare this with the other books you've written, was this an easier book to do, a more difficult book to do? How does it lay out?
I think it was relatively easy to do, and I'll tell you why, because I had been a very history-heavy host and producer of my own syndicated baseball radio show, Diamond Gems, which I began in 1994. It was an hour-long weekly show, and I developed an emphasis on nostalgia, vintage broadcast highlights of old games that stations and teams had never preserved. The fans generally had been the ones to record these things, and I obtained hundreds of hours of tape over the years to do this, plus interviews with top baseball personalities. So what I did is I went through all my old tapes for 15 years, and I gleaned 30,000 words of oral history, if you can believe that. I gleaned about one-third of the book from the old radio show. I even stumbled upon a Sparky Anderson interview in 1995 that I forgot I did. And so it saved me the trouble of tracking down some of these people if I already had them on tape. It is permissible to steal from yourself.
And then I can have the interviews with people like Leo DeRocher.
There were some interviews that I took from microfilm, but for instance, John Holland, the Cubs, there were a couple of quotes from John Holland there. They were actually on a pregame broadcast that he did on opening day 1969 that I had a tape of that. Now conversely, some of the fresh interviews that I did, for instance, with Brooks Robinson and Earl Weaver, I converted into new radio shows in 2010, so it worked both ways.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
That's right. I'm the Green Radio Show, and there's a lot of stuff about plagiarism, but it ain't plagiarism if you steal from yourself.
Now, you work you've been a newspaper writer, you have your radio show. Castle Sports Journalism, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's an umbrella I incorporated as a full-time freelancer back in 1992 when a staff position that I had was no longer in existence due to a sale of a newspaper that I was working at. Castle Sports Journalism is just the umbrella over all my work, and most recently, you talk about my radio show, I've converted that into an online video show, and I'll let you and all the listeners know, Diamond Gems is being converted again from radio to online video, and it's going to be at rantsports.com and nwi.com and a whole bunch of other sites. In fact, my radio affiliates that were very supportive of the radio show all these years want moving pictures on their sites. So 5 to 7 minute interviews with top newsmakers. We've taped Kerry Wood, Ryan Dempster, Hall of Famer Billy Williams already. These are just people who've been around the Chicago area over the winter. Those will be shown on a network of sites, not just one site, but a whole network of them. So I change with the times, just like baseball changed with the times.
So you've been basically in the industry for more than three decades. So you've seen a lot of change, let alone baseball, but in the reporting aspect of it. So
not all of it good.
Not all of it good. But yet you've managed to grow with the times, as it were. Do you enjoy doing all this, or do you find this a burden?
The only burden that I found is trying to sell advertising for the radio show. Sales is an entirely different thing than anything else you do. I applaud anybody who sells for a living, and particularly sells broadcast time or sells newspaper space, because in many ways it's an intangible. It's not a car or a washing machine or a house. It's not a three-dimensional type thing you can touch, feel, cradle in your arms, or drive around. It's all conceptual, and it's a commodity that is the first to get cut in a downturn, and you really have to do a dog and pony show to sell it. And so to sell for something properly, rejection is always your constant companion, so it basically has to be your full-time schedule to be a salesman. So that's the only bad thing that I've had about running my own radio show, either trying to sell things myself or an often futile quest to get somebody to partner with me on that. But in terms terms of the content production of the interviewing and the relationships with past and present players and coaches and managers, I love sitting in Billy Williams' house and talking about how he and Ron Sano first met in San Antonio in 1959, and their teammate was Ron Paranowski, who became one of the great relief pitchers of the 60s, or talking about things that can't be printed in a family publication about the hijinks of players with Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins, or getting a Kerry Wood to tape your radio show because you've been interviewing Wood since he was drafted as a 17-year-old, and getting him to appear without compensation in front of a live audience because you conducted yourself right. And I would always tell young reporters now, if you want to make relationships with top athletes now, don't go up and talk to them and need something from them every time. Put the notebook away, the recorder away, and just talk to them like you and I are talking, like anybody is talking. They may be making millions, but they're human beings too. Now, and that's a good way to make relationships with them.
That reminds me of another thing you mentioned in the book. In the days before free agency, when the minimum salary was $6,000, players were basically making what the writers were making.
So that's right.
They were on an even keel. But do you think there can be those kind of relationships now when the ball players are making, you know, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 times what a writer would make?
If you work at it, there are some players who, not every player is a raging egotist. You have, again, I mentioned Kerry Wood, who grew up in the game. He had a high school education, yet he taught himself a lot of savvy and a lot of moxie in the game, getting married, learning about things, having his career almost taken away from him by injuries. There's guys like Ryan Dempster, who his goal is to be a stand-up comic. He's absolutely the funniest guy in the major leagues. He's from Canada, and that's where a lot of comedians come from, the Aykroyds and the John Candys and whatever, and Dempster is from that pipeline, and he channeled Harry Carey. He does a mean Harry Carey mimicry. He did that for 7 minutes on one of our Diamond Gems segments on rantsports.com, NWI.com, so that'll be, you know, shown, that'll be posted in upcoming weeks. But if you get to know these people, you have to be there every day. Baseball is the one sport still that has that kind of daily access, and even that is being encroached upon. But if you're there every day and you get there early, you still can develop these relationships with people. You can't do that in the NFL, where everything is carefully choreographed now. I go back 25 years to the Super Bowl champion Bears in 85. You were still able to get home numbers of players. You were still able to talk to people on a, you know, casual basis. It hadn't grown into this monstrosity that is carefully stage managed. I've heard of hockey teams now that frown on you if you get a player's number and call them at home. The NBA has a 45-minute window before each game where you can talk to players. Well, I was there in the Michael Jordan era, where Jordan and his pals knew that during this 45-minute window, they would go into the off-limits players' lounge so they couldn't be accessible. Mm-hmm. So baseball, just like everything else, is the last bastion of the good old days, which is still, it's a door that's closing, but you still have enough room to dash in and maneuver around even now.
Alrighty. The name of the book is When the Game Changed, an oral history of baseball's true golden age, 1969 to 1979, and we've been talking with George Castle. George, thank you very much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you very, very much for publicizing it. Again, any author loves these interviews when the tables are turned, and author never turns down an interview. Thank you.
And that was George Castle, author of When the Game Changed, an oral history of baseball's true golden age, 1969 to 1979. Well, thanks for listening to The Bookshelf this week. In weeks ahead, we will be talking with the likes of Tobias Moskowitz and L. John Wertheim, author of Scorecasting, a new book that takes a Freakonomics-type look at the sports world. We'll also be talking with Jonah Carey about his new book about the Tampa Bay Rays, The Extra 2%, How Wall Street Strategies Took a Major League Baseball Team from Worst to First. And sometime in the very near future, we'll be speaking with Hal Richman, creator of the Stratomatic game, which celebrates its 50th anniversary this year. So once again, I'm Ron Kaplan. Thanks for listening to Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf. And visit the blog at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com.